our church has in its heart to partner with other people in different countries. I think it's part of the DNA of our church. And we started praying for partners in South America. And then finally God allows us to go, went all the way down south to Argentina to connect with a leader, and a strong leader, and his church and his ministry to come alongside him. And to support the kingdom of God by coming alongside him and helping him in the work of the ministry.
Hello, mi nombre es Marcelo Centineo. Soy de Bahía Blanca, una ciudad al sur de la provincia de Buenos Aires. En este momento me encuentro pastoreando junto a mi familia en la ciudad de Merlo, San Luis. Mi iglesia se llama Tiempo de Dios, aquí en Merlo, San Luis, y mi iglesia es una iglesia de la familia, para la familia. Se distingue por el trabajo con niños, con jóvenes, con adolescentes, con matrimonios. Ese es nuestro fuerte, trabajar con las familias, tratar de restaurar la familia y formar familias cristianas. Desde el principio de la iglesia, hace 12 años, nos propusimos ser una iglesia que sea pionera en la evangelización de la ciudad de Merlo y también de la región. Para eso construimos un predio donde poder contener todo el trabajo y a su vez un modelo que pudiéramos enseñar y aplicar en otros lugares de la provincia y del país también. El evangelio en la Argentina ha crecido mucho en las grandes ciudades por medio de iglesias, mega iglesias con formatos muy contemporáneos. Sin embargo, en el interior, en las ciudades más pequeñas del país, no se ve el mismo crecimiento. De hecho, aquí en la ciudad de Merlo y en los alrededores, el porcentaje de creyentes comprometidos en la iglesia no llega al 2% de la población, por lo cual hay mucho trabajo por hacer. Sí, nosotros tratamos de, más que desde el programa en sí mismo, de desarrollar relaciones dentro del servicio de la iglesia y que la gente se relacione espontáneamente sin necesidad de un programa, sino que las relaciones sean de tal manera que la gente se relacione. Lo hemos hecho desde el principio y lo venimos haciendo bien, creo que ese trabajo.
Then we came back and we are right now in Panama. And we are in the city of David. Now we found another partner. And what we're doing is we're just getting to know him, trying to connect with his heart and with his call. And the big question is how we can help to come alongside you and to expand the kingdom together. We don't want to claim anything because all the glory is for Jesus Christ. If God has given us so much, we just want to spread it out to other people and create this movement through all over Latin America so Jesus can be known.
Soy Luis Matute, soy originario de La Ceiba, Honduras. Ahora estamos aquí de misioneros sirviendo al Señor con Puerta de las Misiones en Panamá. Ya tenemos 14 años, hemos plantado varias iglesias y nuestra misión y visión aquí es la multiplicación de iglesias. Queremos preparar líderes para la plantación de iglesias aquí en Panamá, donde el Señor nos ha llamado y nos ha enviado con nuestra familia para extender su reino en este país de Panamá.
Aleluya.
Lo más importante para nosotros aquí en Panamá es que todas las personas lleguen a tener una relación con Cristo, que conozcan al Señor y se pueda multiplicar esto a cada rincón de este país. Así que lo hacemos a través del entrenamiento, capacitación de líderes para que ellos mismos planten iglesias y enseñen a sus propios nacionales también a plantar a otras iglesias. Así como hizo el apóstol Pablo, que tenía Timoteo, Tito y otros y plantaban iglesias y ellos a la vez enseñaron a otros hombres fieles a plantar la iglesia. Entonces, esto es lo más importante para nosotros en este ministerio, de poder capacitar y entrenar a panameños para que ellos a la vez puedan entrenar a otros y llevar este evangelio a cada rincón de este país hermoso de Panamá.
Awesome as that, huh? Fellowship, you see that? Let's give them a hand. Man, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, man, God has called me to Fellowship Beach Campus in Panama. You saw that footage. You're like, oh, here am I, Lord. Send me to that place. And do you see the vision? Can you hear that? And I wanted you to see these two guys, Pastor Marcelo and Pastor Luis, because I think most of you know this, but those two guys that we have partnered with in South America, they have now completed kind of our goal, our dream, that we have a partner on every inhabited continent. And we are excited about what that means as far as fellowship's role in helping spread the gospel all around the world. And so, good morning, Chapel. Good morning, Warehouse. We're all in this together. And as we kind of think about what it looks like to be a body of Christ, to be a family that's making disciples all around the world. Now, that's why we wanted to open up with that video this morning, because we want us to be able to see just the beauty of what God is doing. And we talk about what it looks like for the gospel to be spread to the uttermost parts of the world, to be able to be spread here in Central Arkansas and to the uttermost parts of the world. And the role that God has for you and me to play in that is so vital. And we're so excited about what that looks like. Matter of fact, I want to take just a moment and I want to pray for our friends and partners in South America, and really our friends and partners all over the world and even here in Central Arkansas. So would you join me this morning as we pray for them? Father God, we thank you so much for the mission you've called us to be on together. And we thank you for the beauty of the gospel, Jesus, that you are the good news, that you are the hope, you are the peace, you are the salvation that this world needs. And we think about our brothers and sisters, many who have already met around the world. They've already met this morning to worship you and to praise you, some in some very hostile places, others in places where the gospel is exploding in many ways. And so, God, we just pray that you would continue to take your message, your fame, your glory, your hope, your salvation to the darkest places in the world, that you would reach many, many hearts for you. God, we thank you for Luis, and we thank you for Marcelo, and we thank you for our many partners that we have here at Fellowship, that we pray for them and for their families and for the ministry that you've called them to. We pray for our friends here in Central Arkansas that are going after the one, who are seeking to share the gospel, who are seeking to share the love and hope of you with as many people as possible. And we pray, God, that there would be a revival. We pray that your spirit would sweep over this area, this region, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit in ways that can only be explained by you, and that lives will be transformed through the power of the gospel. And so we thank you for what you're doing here, God. We ask you to do more. We ask you to do more in us and more through us for the glory of your name and for the good of the cities we live in, for good of this world. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28. And that's a passage that's familiar to a lot of us. That's known as the Great Commission passage. And so Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we're also going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And there'll be a few other verses as well throughout the message. But those are kind of two of the key ones that we're starting off with this morning. Ephesians 3, 8 and 10. And then Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we're talking about multiplying the gospel at home and across the world. And if you've been with us over the last few weeks, you know that we're talking about what it means to be a church family together here at Fellowship. So if you're a visitor or a guest with us here this morning, thank you so much for being here. We're so glad that you're here with us. We pray that your time here will be very beneficial and meaningful to you. And we pray that you'll be able to see in some ways what God is calling this specific body, this specific church family called Fellowship Bible Church, what he is calling us to be about. In the last couple of weeks, we talked about how the gospel is of first importance. And before we can ever be together as a church, we must be together in the gospel. We must be together in the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are linking arms in that, right? And then beyond that, that the gospel transforms our lives, changes us, so that we see that there are lives being impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we're not the same people that we were before we met Christ, before he found us, changed us, loved us, transformed us by his grace, and that we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to be in change. We're continuing to be transformed into his image, that we never graduate from the gospel. We never graduate from it. We just grow deeper into it. And then this week, we're talking about multiplying the gospel. The gospel is meant to be multiplied in our lives, through our lives, at home, right? In your literal home, but also in the home, what we would call Central Arkansas for us. And then all the way across the world, that the gospel will be multiplying in that way. And so this morning, as you have your outline there with you in the bulletin, you can kind of see this. If the gospel is working in us, then it will be working through us, right? If the gospel is working in us, then what it means is it's going to be working out through us. Right? The gospel is not designed, it's not meant to be stagnant. It's not meant to like come to us and just kind of reside in us and just kind of stay there. The gospel is meant to transform our lives, to keep transforming our lives, but we become a vessel, an instrument that God's gospel, his love and grace is coming to us and flows through us to others. That's how the gospel is multiplied. Whatever your age is, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you put your faith and trust in him, and you're walking in faith, then what we know is that the gospel is going to be working in you, continue to refine you, because we're all sinners. And those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're sinners who've been saved by grace, and we continue to grow in that grace and continue to be transformed in that grace. And for those that don't know Christ, we pray that you will see the truth. But what we know is that when God's gospel begins to work in us, it also works its way out through us. When I was in seminary, we had some neighbors that were from different countries. Matter of fact, I had multiple neighbors. I lived in an apartment complex, and we had seminary students that were literally from all different places and countries around the world. And I'll never forget, there was this one particular couple and several friends' apartments around us. They were from a particular country, and I'm telling you, there was a food smell that kind of came. It was there. It was part of their culture and part of their food and part of their ambiance or whatever. And you could smell it. And sometimes it smelled really good. And sometimes it just smelled strange to my nose. And I'm sure it was good to theirs, but strange to mine. But you could smell it. It was very, very forceful. And you'd walk out and you go, oh, yeah, they've been cooking today. Like, you know kind of what's going on. And then I would have some of those same brothers would be in class with me, right? And they would talk to me. We'd have conversations. And I would smell it on their breath. I'd be like, listen, hey, it's a thing called toothpaste. And I'm just kidding. And they would be talking to you, and you'd have this great conversation. I had some great brothers in Christ from these different parts of the world. And, man, you would just smell it, you know. And you walk outside the apartment, and you could smell it. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. Because when something is kind of working in you, right, when something is kind of upon you in that way, it just shows up in every facet of life. And that's what the scripture talks about when it talks about the gospel working in us and through us. Right? That it's a part of who we are. It comes out in our conversations. It comes out in the way that we live our lives. It comes out in the relationships that we have. It comes out in the way that we spend our money. It comes out in the way that we spend our time. That this gospel permeates everything that we are doing. Look what it says in Ephesians 3, 8 through 10. And Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says this, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things so that through the church," there it is, "through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus saying, listen, this mystery that's been hidden for ages in God, it's in Christ. We know that we're going to declare that, proclaim that, and it's going to happen through the church. Not a building, but the church, the people of God. That the gospel is going to be multiplied through the church. And if we're going to be a church family together and we're going to be together in the gospel, then we need to see the gospel working in our lives and through our lives. We need some accountability. We need some intentionality as a church family, as Fellowship Bible Church, to say, you know what? If you're a member here, if you're on mission here with us, then what that means is that you don't just come and sit, that you don't just have a casual conversation out in the community that says, yeah, I go to fellowship. That's my church home. No, that's not just what it's about. It's about the gospel working in you and working out through you. That's what it means to be really a part of this family. That we see the gospel working in and through us. And so this morning, as we think about how God wants to send this message to a lost and dying world, he wants to do it through the church, through the church. And so as we think about that this morning, I have a few questions that I think we need to ask and answer. Questions that just kind of surface whenever you're talking about multiplying the gospel. And when you ask these questions and answer these questions, in a lot of ways, it's just some basic things, some basic truths. And so for some of you who've been at Fellowship maybe for a long time, maybe you've been a believer for a long time, you've been attending this church and been a part of this church and consider yourself a member of this church for a long time, then what this is going to feel a little bit like for you is almost like a couple who's been married for 50 years renewing their vows. You know, I can't explain it for you. Maybe you're not sentimental. Maybe you're not this way, but I know this. Every time I go to a wedding with my wife, when I go to a wedding with my wife, there are many, many times when I am stirred in my affections even more so for my wife. I'm reminded of the vows that I took before God and before her, and that I gave to her, and that I said I would live by, and I'm reminded by that, and many times I'm encouraged by that, sometimes challenged by that, depending upon where we are in our marriage. And so for many of you who've been a part of Fellowship, you hear some of these questions. You know what? Let it be that kind of moment for you, almost a renewing of vows where you say, you know what? Yes, this is what I signed up for. Yes, this is what it means to be on mission with God. And for some of you, this may feel brand new to you when you hear these questions and you hear these answers and kind of going, man, I didn't know that. I never really realized that's what it means to be a part of a church family, that's what it means to be on mission together in the gospel. I'm not sure I ever really realized that. Well, then great. Maybe this morning will be life-changing for you. Maybe it really will spark something in your heart, and the Holy Spirit will spark something in your heart and mind that says, yes, I want to be a part of this family, and I want to be a part of what God is doing. And so there are questions that surface out of this. So the first question is this: why me? No, that's not what it says. Who? Me? Right? Who? Me? Every believer is called to the Great Commission. Now, you've been in situations where you're talking to somebody or you're talking to your kids and they act like you're not talking to them. They kind of go, who, me? Who, me? Are you talking to me? Is that meant for me? And then this morning, when we talk about what it means to share the Great Commission, you may be kind of sitting there as a Christian kind of go, me? Like, you don't really know me very well because I am not good with my words. Or you may know me very well because I'm pretty shy. I'm a shy person. I'm really not an extrovert. I like kind of time with myself, and I'm really not good at that. You may say, you know what? I really don't have a whole lot of knowledge, man. There are people here at Fellowship that have tons of knowledge in the Scriptures, tons of knowledge. I've seen those people. I'm not one of them. So there can be all kinds of reasons. Maybe you'd say, you know what? I'm really young. I'm young. And maybe you'd say, you know what? I'm really old. I'm forgetting some things. I don't know. Somewhere in between, but maybe you're making excuses, and you would kind of say, you know what, when you hear this in the Scripture that every believer, regardless of age, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of spiritual knowledge, every believer is called to the Great Commission. Every person, every believer. And if you kind of go, who me? Are you talking to me? Yes, the Scriptures are talking to you. Look what it says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now Jesus is speaking to the disciples that are gathered around as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he says, listen, all authority has been given to me, heaven and earth, all authority. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. Now, Fellowship, there are many, many of you who have heard this verse for years, decades. So this is not new to you. There are some of you who are new to Fellowship, but you're not necessarily new to the Big C Church. You've been a believer for quite a while, and this verse is not new to you. But even for those of us who have heard it for a long time, I wonder if we've gotten too comfortable with it. Or if we have felt like, you know what, that's like, that verse is kind of like for the super Christians. That's like for the ninja Christians. You know, those are for the people who are really elite. This is like the Navy SEALs of Christians, right? This is for the elite who really know how to get it done. And when God needs some people to accept him, when Jesus needs some people to believe in him, then he's going to send in the elite forces, right? He's going to send in those people, and they're going to get the job done. That's not what the Scripture says. There is a radical minimum standard in the New Testament of believers who actually pray, who actually are very, very generous, who actually share the love of Christ, who are very verbal about their faith, who are strong in prayer. That's the radical minimum standard. It's not for the superheroes of the faith. These are average people who've been changed by Jesus and who keep being changed by the grace of Jesus and the power of His Spirit. So when it says that every believer is called to the Great Commission, and that is the Great Commission, by the way. I just read the Great Commission. Some of you are kind of going, hey, listen, this church is kind of new to me. I don't know what the Great Commission is. Here's what it is. It's the command that Jesus gave us to go tell everyone about who He is and to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus Christ, to teach them to observe everything that Jesus commanded. That's what it is. It's actually very simple to understand. It's a little bit more complex to live out, but it's pretty simple to understand. Jesus wants us to go, not sit. He wants us to go and make disciples. And that's a command that He gives to every believer, regardless of our age. And again, it's not just for the paid pastoral staff. It's not just for the elders of the church. It's not for just Ben and Mark and myself. It's not for Cody and for Jason. It's not for our pastoral staff, John and Dan and Jim and Catherine and Kathy. And we can keep going on with all of our staff members. It's not just for us to do the job. Matter of fact, you know this. And if you don't, let me share it with you in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It says, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature to manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now again, people who've been around fellowship for a long time, you know that fellowship has been known in the past as what? An equipping church. And we're going to equip you in the faith so that you can go and share that gospel with others. And you know what? In all these 40 years of fellowship, that hasn't changed. We still want to equip you. We want to equip you as saints. We want to be able to give you the tools. We want to be able to encourage you in the faith. We want to be able to pray for you and with you and come alongside with you in this journey to share the gospel. Because that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to turn this Central Arkansas upside down. Is when we have teenagers in our midst who are sharing the faith at their schools with friendships. That's what's going to turn this Central Arkansas region around, is when you start having conversations with your neighbors and you start having conversations with people that you work with and you start having conversations even with people that you kind of run into at the same places that you frequent, restaurants or grocery stores or whatever, and you start seeing some of the same people and you start building relationships with some of those people and you begin to invite them into your life and what Jesus Christ is doing inside of you. That's when we're going to see the power of the Spirit really begin to work in our midst. Is when you and I take the Great Commission seriously. So don't be surprised at this great revelation. And if you've acted like you really didn't know what it is, then guess what? You no longer really have that freedom. Because the Scripture makes it very clear that this is what we're supposed to be about. And by the way, there's no plan B, okay? God doesn't have a plan B. In God's infinite sovereign wisdom, He chose His plan to use you and me to share and spread and multiply the gospel to the uttermost places of the world. Now, whether you agree with that, disagree with that, can't believe that, it's true, okay? It's what the Scriptures teach us, that God designs to use us. So the answer to who, me? Every believer is called to the Great Commission. Second question, say what? Say what? Every believer is meant to share with others what has been shared with you. What am I supposed to say? I'm supposed to go and actually say something? Yes, you're supposed to actually say something as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's what we're about as a family here. We want to be able to share what's been shared with us. We want to be able to take this gospel that's transformed our lives and continues to transform our lives, and we want to be able to share that and communicate that with others. Now again, that doesn't mean that everybody has to have a seminary degree. It doesn't mean that you're called to stand on a stage and preach like us as teaching pastors. It doesn't even mean that you have to be fluent in the gospel, so to speak, that you can fully speak the language. But if you know the heart of the gospel, that you're a sinner, and that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that God raised Him from the dead, and that when you repent and believe and put your trust in Him, the Bible says that we are saved, and that we have hope and peace and salvation. Every believer is meant to share with others what has been shared with you. I mean, even the Bible says this in 2 Timothy. I love it because it was mentioned in the video we watched this morning. Paul says this to Timothy, his young disciple, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is one of the key verses in the Scriptures about multiplication. He's saying, be strengthened in grace, Timothy. In other words, he's kind of going, look, I know you have a tendency to be weak. I know you have a tendency to be fearful. I know you have a tendency to wonder how it's all going to work out. And Paul's saying, listen, be strengthened by grace in Jesus. He's the one who strengthens you. And I want you to teach others who can teach others who can teach others who can teach others the beauty of the gospel. This idea of multiplication, that we are telling people about the love of Christ. I'm not going to show it to you, but a couple years ago, I used an illustration about a love note that I received when I was in elementary school. And it was just a little bitty card that some girl gave me. Her name was Lisa. And Lisa kind of had it bad for me. And she gave me this card that said, God bless all living things. And she said quite a few things in this card. And she just kind of went on and on about how great I was. And it was really kind of embarrassing. And but she said how cute and how sweet and how grand and all these kinds of things. It was really kind of awkward. And she wrote all these things, drew pictures, picture of a dog and said I was doggone cute, you know, and she drew a picture of a cat and says, you are perfect. I mean, it was all these things. It was just kind of weird. And on the back of it, she writes in these big bold letters about how great, how cute, sweet, and awesome I am. And then in the very little fine print at the bottom, she says, I like you for a boyfriend. Then she says this, but don't tell anybody. It's like all this stuff about how great and how wonderful I am. I like you for a boyfriend, but just keep that on the down low. I don't want anybody to know that. And I've related it so many times to my life with Christ and saying, you know what? How many times do we come to a church and we declare the majesty and the glory and the beauty of Jesus, and he is King of all kings and he's Lord of all lords, and he has a beautiful name, he has a wonderful name, he has a powerful name. And yet it's almost as if we leave this place and we say, God, you are all that, but let's just kind of keep that between me and you. And that's not funny. It's an indictment on us as believers. And what we're saying, Fellowship, is that this church family wants to be about the gospel in such a way that we're sharing with others what Christ has done in us, for us, to us, and through us. And listen, if you're kind of going, that scares me to death. Well, guess what? That's the beauty of family. You're not alone. Like, we're together in this. We want to grow in this. We want to help each other in this. Because let me just tell you something. What you're weak in, someone else is strong in, I assure you. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. That's what makes the family beautiful. That's why I love coming to sing songs together. That's why I love our corporate worship gatherings, because you know what? When I see you guys and we come and we gather and we sing, if you actually sing, and we sing together, and you know what? It helps me know I'm not crazy and I'm not alone. And by the way, there are some days I don't feel like singing because of maybe things that have gone on in my life. And guess what? I see you singing. It gives me faith and gives me courage, and God uses you to encourage my spirit. It's the beauty of the church. Say what? Every believer is meant to share with others. So let me just ask you this. When's the last time you shared your faith with someone? This is where it gets kind of awkward. When's the last time you shared Christ with somebody? You say, man, I invited somebody to an event. Okay, well, that's good. When's the last time you were able to kind of maybe share with someone what Christ has done for you and what he can do for them? I'm not saying that they got saved, got baptized, and their life has been radically transformed. That's not what I'm asking. That's not your job. That's God's job, okay? But when's the last time you shared your faith? When's the last time you discipled someone? Some of you kind of go, you know what, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and maybe you shared your faith with somebody. When's the last time you really truly discipled someone where you have kind of poured into them the scriptures as they've been poured into you? Some of you say, well, you know what? I don't think I've ever had someone pour the scriptures into me. Well, we got to help that change, don't we? And you know what? That's exactly what we want to do. We want to come alongside as a church and say, we're family. Let's change this. Let's do this. When's the last time that's happened in your life? Here's a third question. Think how? How am I supposed to think? Every believer needs to think like a missionary and act accordingly. Now, this gets a little dicey, doesn't it? How am I supposed to think? What are you telling me? Well, the scripture says you and I need to think like missionaries. And a missionary is simply someone who is sent on mission, okay? Right? Now listen, a missionary, and most of the times we define it as someone who's sent to a foreign context, to a different land, to share the gospel with others. And you know what? That is really the core and the heart of the word missionary. But really, when you think about someone who's sent on mission, that can be next door. It can be to across the room in your house. It can be the person that you work with, your neighbor, Central Arkansas. We're sent on mission. We need to be thinking this way. Every believer needs to think like a missionary. It's recognizing people in need all around us. It's being intentional, right? Being intentional with spreading the gospel in the context that you already live in. Sometimes we're so worried about how we're going to live this life and how we're going to make it happen. You're already in multiple contexts right now. God's already placed you in the neighborhood you're in. God has already placed you in some of the friend context you're in. God's already placed your kids in the schools that they're in. God has already placed some of your sons and daughters in the sports teams or the dance activities or the extracurricular activities or the hunting club. God's already placed you in some of the contexts you're in. And the reality of it is that you need to begin thinking like a missionary. If we're going to be a church family together, united in the gospel, transformed by the gospel, multiplying the gospel, if we're going to be doing that, then guess what? You and me got to get busy thinking like missionaries. And if you say, I don't know how to do that, great, you've come to the right place. We want to help you do that together. You got to start thinking like missionaries. And not just some kind of foreign context, although God may call you to a foreign context. I pray that there'll be more people from Fellowship who are sent out to other countries around the world to spread the gospel. I pray for that. I long for that. That we have counseling situations with our missions team and people set up who say, you know what? I believe God's calling me to go to another country to share the gospel. We'd love to see that happen. But it's not just across the seas, it's also across the street. It's also across town. And we got to be thinking like these missionaries. Neighborhoods, kids, schools, athletic leagues, workplace, country club, athletic club, the pool, other places where people are that need hope. And we need to see people not as projects, right? And you're not looking at this friend at school, and you're not looking at this coworker that you have, and you're not seeing them as some kind of project, but we're actually saying, you know what? We want to build relationships. Some of us are just rusty at building relationships. And the reason we get scared about sharing the gospel is because we feel like we're just telling you to kind of go up to somebody and kind of go, I don't have any time to talk about anything else. I just need to tell you about Jesus. And that's really not what we're saying, although there needs to be urgency in our hearts. We need to be praying. You know, sometimes we encourage our kids to pray for friends at school that don't know Christ. Julie and I are very weak at it at times, but sometimes we pray for families that we are meeting at our kids' schools and different activities, kind of going, we don't know where they are with Christ. And we pray for them. But it's got to go beyond that. That we really genuinely care about people enough to care that their lives are in danger if they don't know Christ. If they're not growing in Christ. I recently just picked up a book called A Meal with Jesus by a guy named Tim Chester. And I'm not through it yet, so I don't know that I can fully recommend it, I guess, but I'm reading it right now, and I'm encouraged by it. But it's talking about a meal with Jesus and about how meals can really be places of transformation. Meals can actually be open doors for the gospel. And in the New Testament, it says that Jesus, he uses this phrase, the Son of Man came, right? There are three phrases in the New Testament. The Son of Man came. Here's the first one. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, right? Give his life a ransom for many. Second one says this, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And the third phrase is interesting. It says the Son of Man came eating and drinking. That's what it says. And if you look close enough, what you know is Jesus had a bunch of meals with a lot of people. And he was a friend of sinners and tax collectors. That's what it says. And so maybe you and I need to get intentional about the meals that we're eating. Maybe you need to think about inviting someone over for a meal. Maybe you need to think about, you know what? Maybe it's once a month. Maybe it's once every other month. Maybe you need to set your goals kind of lightly right now. But maybe you need to think about, you know what? We need to be having someone over for dinner. Maybe it's someone who that you work with. Maybe it's one of your kids that they have an activity that they're involved in, and you've kind of met that mom. You've met the dad. You're at a birthday party after having an awkward conversation while your kids are playing. I've been there. You've been there. We may have been there together. But then you start thinking, kind of going, you know what? Let's just invite them over for dinner. Now listen, this is not like you invite them over to dinner and you have like this secret whiteboard that's got the gospel all presented and you're like, now, and you kind of give it to them. That's not it. It's a meal. How'd you guys meet? How'd you guys get to Little Rock? Let me tell you part of our story. Man, our kids being in the same grade, isn't that crazy? All the homework, whatever. You see that? I mean, I bet even if our church just simply just said, you know what, I think I'm just going to try to intentionally invite someone over for a meal once a month or once every other month, I wonder what God might do with that. We need to start thinking like missionaries. Remember the bracelets, WWJD? What would Jesus do? I mean, they marketed that thing, t-shirts, blankets, towels, rocks, whatever, socks. I mean, it was everywhere, WWJD. What would Jesus do? I heard a pastor say one time, maybe the more important question is, what would Jesus think? Because thinking affects doing. Thinking affects doing. And we got to think like missionaries. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. I love this verse about Jesus. When he saw the crowds, talking about Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I love that about Jesus. You know what? He was always busy, but he was never too busy for people. It says when he saw the crowds, we got to see people. We got to see people. The people who are in your grade at school, the people who are in your office, the people who live on your street. We've got to see people with the eyes of Christ. And we need God's grace to help us think like these missionaries. Well, the next question is this. Go where? Go where? Every believer is designed to be on mission as you are going locally and globally. You kind of say, where are we supposed to go? Where is my mission field, right? So if we say that we as a church have a shared mission, what is a shared mission? It's the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. That's our mission statement, right? To make disciples who live by God's grace and for his glory at home and across the world. We say it all the time, all the time. To make disciples. That's what our church family is all about. And where do you do that? Everywhere. Everywhere. Where is your mission field? It's everywhere. The radar has to be up, and we have to be thinking that way. Not to overwhelm you, but to kind of go, that's what the scripture says. Go make disciples. It means as you are going, as you are going. Not that even us, we have to change our routines for some of us, although some of us need more margin in our life, but as you are going, that you're having that conversation. Listen, we want to be the kind of church family that can have those conversations with our sons and daughters, that can have those conversations with our neighbors, that can have those conversations with our coworkers, where at some point we're able to kind of turn the conversation to where it's actually rooted in the gospel, even if they don't even know that's what's happening. This is how the gospel, this is how Jesus has changed my life. And really kind of what you're feeling, kind of what you're going through, the root of that is not this, it's something else. And by the way, the gospel can solve that. Jesus can help that and being able to connect the dots. And so we have to see our mission as going. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so excited this morning to let you know that we have one of these for everyone to pick up. It's called the Missions Guidebook. We put one out last year. This one's even a little bit more robust than I think last year's. And it's got our mission partners that are there. It's got some great articles, some great opportunities. It's got ways that you can plug in locally. Some of you are saying, man, where do I serve? I want to dive in and serve locally. I have a passion for prison ministry. I have a passion for orphan ministry. I have a passion for caring for people. How do I do that? Where do I do that? We want everyone to pick one of these up. We want you to be able to grab one of these and read through it. It's going to tell you how you can pray for our missionary partners all around the world. You can do that with your kids and grandkids. It's a great tool to hang on the fridge for you to be able to say, you know what, tonight we're going to pray for Dave and Gloria Furman. You know, tomorrow night or next week we're going to pray for Clay and Lauren Kennard. And we're going to just kind of look at what their needs are. We're going to pray for them. You can look at opportunities that we have here in Central Arkansas to help serve. Because if you were to look up and kind of go, we're not plugged in. We're not really serving anywhere. I don't even know where any lost people are. I'm not sure what's going on. And so maybe you're looking for a place to plug in. This resource is phenomenal. And we want you to grab one of these and look through it, because you know what? God's going to use this to open up your eyes to maybe things that you can be involved in, because you know what? You have a gift that God's given you to use in the body of Christ. And so when you think about go where, well, we're going locally and we're going globally. Short-term mission trips. You guys are going to see, you were handed some this morning. It shows you all the short-term mission trips we're taking this year. You know what? Some of you already have passports. You just need to get the courage to go. To say, you know what? I'm going to go, and I'm going to see a different context, and I'm going to realize that God speaks more than just English, and I'm going to see what God's doing around the world. And some of you need to take that step. It's going to be hard for some of you. For some of you parents, it's going to be hard to kind of let your kids go and take that step. But you know what? You need to take that step and go on a short-term mission trip with us. You say, well, I'm scared that God may call me to do this full time. He just might. I'm kind of scared if you don't try it. If you just kind of continue to live stuck where you are. But there are ways. Some of you may say, you know what, physically, I just cannot make it overseas. Well, you know what, maybe God's gifted you generously that you can help someone else go. And maybe you're proactive about that. Seek out our missions team. Seek out someone that you know that's going on one of those trips. Say, you know what, I can't go. I'd love to help you go. Be active about that, because sometimes people go on mission trips, don't have all the resources. They got the heart, they got the courage, they just don't always have the resources, and sometimes they're too shy to ask. And maybe you pick up on that and say, I'm going to send you. Some of your prayer warriors are like, man, I'm going to pray the heavens down for these teams that go. There's many, many ways to be involved. But God's calling us to go locally and globally to make a difference. Don't get stuck. Quit making excuses. Don't be driven by guilt, by the way. Don't be driven by guilt. Be driven by grace. That's the fuel. The fuel is grace. It's not us standing up here going, you should do something. That's not it. If that's what you're hearing, I'm preaching it wrong. Mark and Ben are preaching it. If that's what you're hearing, we're preaching it wrong. It's not you do this. It's, you know what? God has done this for us. We're a family. Let's go do this. It's different. That's where we go. The last thing is this. Do what? What are we supposed to do? Well, every believer is designed to serve the local body. Every believer is designed to serve the local body. And ideally, we should not be short of any volunteers or workers or servants in the church family. Do you know that? On all of our campuses, we should not be having to kind of get up and lobby for more volunteers in the kids ministry, or to lobby for more volunteers in the student ministry, or other things we got going on. As a church family, we should not have to be doing that. We should have people who are part of the family in ways that love the family, that say, you know what, we're going to serve the family. That's the way a family works. That you and I would say, you know what, I need to use my gifts to serve. And some of you kind of go, I'm not even sure what my gifts are. Well, sometimes diving in and serving in different places will help you figure that out. The idea that we have an opportunity, and even here on the Little Rock campus, we talk about a spiritual gifts class, about taking a spiritual gifts class so you can learn what it looks like, what your gift is, and how you can use that in the body of Christ. I encourage you to do that. But the reality of it is that we are all called to serve. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say it with love, so please hear this. Sometimes church families can feel like a real family, where you have teenagers that just roll their eyes and really don't want to contribute to the family. What can be, but not always is a selfish season that becomes all about that person. Now, I'm not here to pick on teenagers. But I am saying this. You and I maybe have all been a part of the family at times where you feel like people aren't pulling their weight. And it just feels kind of like a yucky season. And I would just hate for you to call fellowship your church home and your church family, and for you to say, I'm on mission with you guys, when in fact, you're not. We want you to be. But part of being on mission together says, I'm serving. And by the way, that may be here on a Sunday morning. We certainly have many opportunities. It may be somewhere in the community that you say, you know what, I'm plugged in. Maybe it's International Friendship Outreach. Maybe it's some other thing with tutoring, and it's Our Kids Read, or somewhere where you're serving, and you're serving the body of Christ, and you're serving locally. You know what? Praise God for that. Praise God for that. That's a part of serving the body. But just understand that we have needs together as a family, and that's what it means to be together. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. You and I are created in Jesus Christ to do good works. Like, we're created to serve. We're designed to serve. That's why when we're not serving, we're not living up to how we've been designed. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's very grace, use your gift to serve one another. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I mean, the Bible just goes on and on and on about the importance of serving together. I talked with someone recently who said, you know what, it was through serving that God really began to create a fire in my heart to love him more. It was through serving that the gospel began being multiplied in their life. And so this morning, we want to see the gospel multiplied. We want to see God do a work in us and through us. That's what this family wants to be all about. And I hope that you look at this family and say, yes, yes, that's the family I want to be a part of. Because I want to see the gospel explode. I want to see the gospel bear fruit here in Central Arkansas and all around the world. So look at the questions and look at the answers and then say, where am I in this? Where am I in this? Because the last question I would say that's not on there, it'd be with who? Who are we doing with? Who are we doing this with? We're multiplying the gospel. Who are we doing this with? With the body of Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for your love to us and how we pray that you would stir in our hearts to multiply the gospel, that your good news would be at work in us and through us, that we would be a church that's known for our love and our joy and our peace, that we would be a church that is known for loving you and loving others, that we would be known for making disciples who live by God's grace and for your glory at home and across the world. So God, this morning, some of the things we hear, they convict us and they resonate with us and they challenge us. And for some of these things, they teach us of what you've called us to be about. Every one of us, Great Commission. Every one of us called to share what we've been shared with. Every one of us to think like a missionary, to have that on our radar, to go and to take the gospel everywhere we go. So Lord, where we need to be encouraged, would you encourage us? And where we need to be convicted, would you convict us? And would you help us to respond to you in humility and help us to receive your grace in ways that energize us and catapult us into this arena of making disciples? We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.